Brittany Birchie says God used her trips to Israel to impact her life in ways she never could have expected. As a very pro-Israel Christian, Brittany says God showed her his perspective of the Palestinian people. Traveling to Israel for herself showed her just how complicated the conflict in the Holy Land really is. Listen to the interview to hear how Brittany is now using the lessons God taught her to equip her in working with Jewish-Christian relations. Stay tuned after this message. Stories like the one you're about to hear demonstrate not only the spiritual power of visiting Israel, but the importance of investing in the next generation of Christian leaders. Passages unlocks opportunities for young Christians to deepen their faith, hone their leadership skills, and experience all the gifts of modern Israel. Passages cannot fulfill this mission on its own. Through the Compass Fund, there are three unique opportunities to partner with Passages. As a voyager, navigator, or admiral, you can help build up the next generation of Christian leaders. A voyager contribution helps provide scholarships for students to take a transformational journey to Israel, where they will explore the roots of their faith while sharpening their leadership skills and experiencing Israeli culture. But the journey doesn't end once students return home. With a navigator contribution, you can support Passage's long-term investment in its alumni with leadership training back on college campuses, as well as opportunities to attend conferences, hear from inspirational speakers, and earn internship subsidies. Finally, by giving an admiral contribution, you can help Passages to grow by hiring passionate new staff, providing professional development, and expanding programming. Your support doesn't just give students a once-in-a-lifetime experience. It provides an experience that could shape the life of the church to come. For more information, visit passagesisrael.org/donate. Again, that's passagesisrael.org/donate. Welcome to the Charisma News Podcast. I'm your host today, Jenny Rose Spauto, and on the phone, I have Brittany. Brittany, thank you so much for coming on the show today. We're going to be talking about Israel and Passages. And so to start off the show, can you just start by telling us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Thank you so much, Jenny, for having me on today. So I am almost 23, turned 23 in a couple weeks. And I just graduated in May from Moody Bible Institute. I got a degree in Jewish studies. But right now I am working for my uncle's company as an accountant, just as a job, probably for about a year as I figure out what's next. I'm thinking about going to grad school. So I am just working right now and enjoying some time off after being in school for 4 years. And I am hoping to, go to grad school and become a professor is what I'm hoping to do.
Well, so. Congratulations. That sounds awesome. I'm excited
Thank
for you.
Thank you.
So Thanks. Cool. And smart idea of taking a little time off because look, school can be a little bit draining. You know what I mean? I loved school, but at the end I was like, okay, I need a little break.
That's
great. Well, today, we're going to be talking about Israel. We're talking about Passages. So can you tell me, how did you get connected with Passages? Am I right in assuming it was probably through a class?
Yes, that's exactly right. So my sophomore year of college, which was actually my first year at Moody Bible Institute, I had transferred there to be a part of the Jewish Studies program. I was taking my first Jewish Studies class, which was Jewish history. And my professor, Serene Hudson, started working for Passages halfway through the semester, and she encouraged all of us in the class to sign up for a Passages trip. So I took her advice and signed up and went to Israel with Passages for the first time that January, which was January 2017. So that's how I initially got started with Passages.
Oh, that's so cool. And how many times have you been to Israel?
have been to Israel 4 times so far.
Oh my goodness. It's so funny. Yeah. As of this recording, I'm not going to say this when it comes out because my sister will be back, but as of this recording, my sister is in Israel right now. It's her final day with the tour that she's on, and she's coming back, and she's just like, ah, oh, it's so awesome. She wants to go back, and wow, that's just so cool that you got to go 4 times. Do you plan to keep going in the future?
Yeah, actually, I'm going back in December with Passages, so...
Very cool. That's awesome. Yeah. So kind of tell me about your first trip. What did you do? What was it like? Tell me about that.
Sure. So my first trip, like I said, was with Passages. And Passages is a 10-day tour. Half of it, I would say, is learning about the biblical history, going to biblical sites, more spiritually focused, and then the second half is more going to sites that are relevant to the modern political situation going on in Israel, so the history of Israel as a state, things having to do with the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, and then visiting sites that have to do with Israel's relations with their neighbors, so the Syrian border, the Jordanian border, the Lebanese border, things like that. So it's a really solid balance of a biblical perspective, but then also a modern political perspective. And what makes Passages really unique is that we also get to hear from speakers from all, I would say all spectrums of Israeli society. So you meet people who they would consider right-wing politically, so have more conservative views of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict versus people who are more left-wing on the conflict. You hear from Palestinians who are very pro-Palestinian, and then you hear from Palestinians who are very pro-Israel. So you hear a variety of perspectives. One of the women we hear from is an Orthodox Jew. So we... So along with touring, you get to hear from people who live in Israel, who live in the Palestinian territories, people who live every day in this tension. So I think that that makes Israel really unique. So Passages really unique. So aside from that, you know, you go on tours, you get to eat a lot of great food, you go all over the country, you get to learn from really experienced tour guides who know how to present all sides of an issue really well, and you get to build relationships with other believers who are experiencing Israel for the first time. So it was a great experience. Like, I couldn't have asked for a better trip to first trip to Israel. So.
Oh, wow, that's so cool. And the cool thing is, it sounds like it was really value-packed. I know, what you're describing, it doesn't sound like you just went to a bunch of, you know, touristic spots and did a bunch of sightseeing. It's like you really learned what's there. Yep. You got to see Israel for what it is, not just, you know, the tourism aspect of it. And that's really neat.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. From the first time that you went, which, you know, it was your first time, you're just getting into things, and then you've been now 4 times. What's kind of changed in your perspective of Israel over those 4 trips?
That's a great question. So I think one of the big things that has changed about my perspective of Israel is has to do more with the spiritual aspect. So I know that something people on Passages say a lot is it's okay if you go and don't have a spiritual experience, meaning you don't have this moment where you're like, oh my gosh, like I really feel the Lord, my life is forever changed. I mean, I think most people who go on Passages would say that the trip changes their lives, but I think when you go to biblical sites, especially places that you know Jesus walked through or gave a sermon at or did a miracle at, there's a little bit of this pressure to think, oh man, like I need to be changed in this moment. Like I need to experience the Lord in this moment. And so for some people that does happen, but for others it doesn't. And I think something I've learned throughout my experiences in Israel so far is that the Lord doesn't always work immediately, which is something I think we often long for. But often the Lord, in changing us and changing our lives, works progressively. And I think that he has really shown me that through my experiences in Israel, that the change I'm longing for in my life sometimes happens progressively, and it's not just an instantaneous thing. And I think Israel's just a unique place in that aspect, because again, you're walking where the disciples walked, you're walking where Jesus walked, you're in the land that the Bible was written. And so there's this like unique, I think, pressure for believers to have this life-changing moment. But I think going to Israel has shown me that the Lord works in ways that we don't often expect. And he has changed my life through these experiences. I mean, Passages has changed my life. It's changed the trajectory of my life in a huge way. I mean, I always knew, well, I've known for a very long time that I wanted to be involved in Jewish-Christian relations, but I didn't know how that would look. But through my trips to Israel, I have a much better picture of how that looks. So I think that's a big thing just on the spiritual aspect. But regarding Israel, like as a nation and as a people, I think the Lord has definitely softened my heart towards the Palestinian people. I'm very pro-Israel. I believe that the Jewish people have a right to self-determination in their own homeland. But through my trips and through interacting with the Arabs who live in Israel, you know, they suffer as well. I think that the suffering is not always, the blame for the suffering is sometimes, most of the time, put unfairly on Israel and the Israeli government. But the fact of the matter is that the situation of the Palestinians is certainly not ideal, whether it's the Palestinians living in Gaza, which is run by Hamas, which is a terrorist group, or the Palestinians who live under the Palestinian Authority. The Palestinian Authority does not help its people the way it should. So I think that for people who are very pro-Israel, there's certainly a temptation to, I would say, overlook the suffering of the Palestinians. But the truth of the matter is, like, the Lord loves the Palestinian people just as much as he loves the Jewish people. And we need to be sensitive to their suffering while also remembering that, you know, there is truth and there is fiction regarding the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. But keeping in mind that compassion is something we need to have for everyone involved in the conflict. So I think that going to Israel and interacting with Palestinians has really softened my heart towards their situation as well. And I'm really thankful for that, because I don't ever want to be hard-hearted towards people who are suffering, if that makes sense.
Oh, absolutely. So, and yeah. It actually really kind of is refreshing to hear, because I know a lot of times you hear in the news these very black and white perspectives of Israel and Palestine, right? Like the people who are pro-Israel, they're very much, it's all about Israel, you know, they can do no wrong. And then people who are pro-Palestine are like, oh, look how terrible Israel is. But you don't see as much, you know, that compassion for both sides. And so I just love that you bring that up, because you kind of make it clear that supporting Israel politically doesn't mean you can't have compassion for the Palestinians and you can't understand where they're coming from. So I love that you bring that up. One thing that you mentioned that I kind of want to go back to and really dig deeper on is you mentioned that, you know, traveling to Israel changed the trajectory of your life. Mm-hmm. And it kind of helped you realize what Jewish-Christian relations should look like for you. So my question is, what do those relations look like? What does it look like on a practical level for you?
Yeah, that's a great question. So just backing up a little bit, before I went to Israel, and I would say like before my professor asked, you know, me if I wanted to go on Passages, to be honest with you, and I'm embarrassed to say this now because of, like I said, how much it's changed my life, but there wasn't really for a while a huge desire in my heart to go to Israel. My heart was at that point more for Europe and doing missions in Europe. But when I transferred to Moody and said, okay, I'm going to do this Jewish studies program, that's when the Lord started softening my heart towards Israel. And so that's why I decided to go. And going to Israel specifically with passages has opened my eyes to how little Christians know about the Jewish roots of our faith. And in my opinion, to not understand the Jewish roots of our faith is a huge problem. I think, reading scripture alone is enough to say, wow, like, the Jewish people are important to God, and they're important in his plan for the world and for salvation. Jesus is Jewish. He comes from the Jewish people. And so for Christians to say something like, oh, you know, before Jesus came, the Jewish people, yeah, they were God's covenant community, but now that the church has come into being, the Jewish people don't matter so much anymore, or the church has replaced Israel, I think is a huge, it's just an erroneous way to read scripture. Romans 11 says, you know, has God, you know, forsaken the Jewish people? And Paul says, no, he hasn't. And so if God hasn't given up his plan and his promises to the Jewish people, that means we as Christians shouldn't believe that he has. And so I think that for me, and going on passages and especially going to Moody and learning about just how much God loves the Jewish people and the plans and the promises he has made to them and is still keeping with them, I've learned that Christians just don't know enough about those things. And in my opinion, you know, I think if you believe that God has, like, given up or ended or taken away his promises that he's made to the Jewish people, what's to say he wouldn't take away the promises he's made to us? You know, things like eternal life, things like the forgiveness of our sins. Who's to say he wouldn't take those promises away? Because, you know, in Jeremiah 31, God says to the Jewish people, he promises to the Jewish people, you know, the sun would have to stop shining, the earth would have to stop turning before I ever take away my promises or I ever stop loving you, the Jewish people. And so that's a pretty big deal. So for me, in learning that and in reading scripture with that lens, my real heart is two parts to it. One, I have a huge desire to see the Jewish people come to know Jesus as their Messiah. I believe that that's God's heart, and I believe that should be the heart of Christians as well. But secondly, I really believe that Christians need to have a biblical understanding of the Jewish people, of God's plan for the Jewish people, and in understanding those things, we can better understand and have a better biblical understanding of the state of Israel. Because if you believe, you know, the land of Israel was promised to Abraham way back in Genesis 12, 13, and 15, and if you believe that those promises don't stand anymore, then it is easier to fall into a camp that is anti-Israel, because you don't see an eternal promise for that land anymore. But if you have a biblical understanding, okay, this God says this promise was made for eternity, then the land must belong to Israel. You know, you can better, I think, understand the political situation. Again, not saying that the state of Israel as it is perfect, because it's certainly not. But it's really my belief that the Bible should determine our political views rather than the other way around. So my heart is to see Christians have a biblical understanding of the Jewish people and of God's plan for them and of the state of Israel, of the land of Israel as well. And truly, if I had not gone on passages, I think that my desire for that would probably not exist, because I saw how passages helps Christians have a better biblical understanding of the Jewish people and of the state of Israel. So.
Wow, that's pretty awesome. So you mentioned one of the dangers of believing that the church has replaced Israel is, like you said, you know, what if God, you know, negates that promise to Israel, what's to stop him from negating that promise to us? What are some other dangers do you think of having that mindset that Israel is no longer God's chosen people? Are there any other dangers that you see within that mindset?
Yes, certainly. So the two biggest ones I think that come with that mindset are one, there are some segments of Christianity that have said, you know, because they're not God's chosen people anymore, because they're eternally damned, why share the gospel with Jewish people? There's no point. And that is an incorrect way of thinking. Every single person needs the gospel, whether they're Jewish or Gentile or whatever. So I think that's a huge danger to say, well, they're eternally damned for XYZ reasons. So, you know, sharing the gospel is not important anymore. And two, I think a huge issue that I still see in some segments of the church today is Christian anti-Semitism. Theological beliefs that say that the church has replaced Israel have historically led to the church committing acts of anti-Semitism against the Jewish people. If you look, I mean, really, throughout history, I would say up until the Holocaust and right after the Holocaust was over, the main perpetrator of anti-Semitism, especially in Europe, were Christians. I mean, I think about Germany in the 1200s, 1300s, 1400s, and beyond. It was Christians that were killing Jewish people for false reasons, you know, making false accusations against the Jewish people and murdering them on those first because of those false accusations. So that's an extreme, but truly, like for centuries, that really was anti-Semitism in the church was a huge thing, and I think and really in Germany specifically, it culminated in the Holocaust. I think one of the biggest falsehoods we think sometimes about the Holocaust was that it came out of nowhere, but really it came out of the foundation of anti-Semitism that the church laid for centuries in Germany. It did not start in a vacuum. And so I think now, you know, we're not really seeing from the church at least violent acts of anti-Semitism against the Jewish people. I think it's more ideological and theological and political. You know, there are mainline denominations that really have a problem with the state of Israel, and then they conflate the state of Israel with the Jewish people as a whole, and they twist scripture to say things that it doesn't, you know, especially regarding the land of Israel. And unfortunately, that oftentimes turns into theological, ideological anti-Semitism. And it all starts with the belief that the church has replaced Israel. So, yeah, I would say, again, just to summarize, because I'm talking a lot, not sharing the gospel with Jewish people because of faulty theology, and then Christian anti-Semitism as well are the two biggest things.
Right. And clearly those things would go against God's word. So it's crazy how, you know, when you go so deep into that kind of mindset, it can cause you to do things that are just so against God's heart and against God's word. That's crazy.
Yeah.
But I know that we're pretty much out of time right now, but I want to ask you, is there anything else that you really want people to know who maybe are about to travel to Israel? What would your advice be to them?
So I would say, first of all, have an amazing time. Israel is incredible. Keep an open mind. I hear it all the time from people who go to Israel for the first time. You know, when you read scripture, everyone does it. We picture Israel in a certain way, when especially reading scripture. But Israel is a modern Westernized state, and so you will be surprised by a lot there. So keep an open mind about things regarding, you know, just what the cities look like, what the people are like, what the food is like. Just keep an open mind. I would say, please just be reading scripture. Read about God's heart for the Jewish people. Read Genesis 12 and 13 and 15. Read 2 Samuel 7. Read Romans 9 through 11. Read about God's heart. Jeremiah 31, again, like, read about God's heart for the Jewish people, because your experience in Israel will be diminished if you do not understand how much God loves the Jewish people. I can't stress that enough. And then finally, I would say, allow God to surprise you, whether it be regarding something that you didn't know about Israel or about the Jewish people or about the Arab people, or regarding something that the Lord wants to do in your life. You know, some of my biggest takeaways from my trips to Israel have been things that have nothing to do with Israel, but the Lord wanted to speak to me and do in me while I was there. So just, and then also with that, you know, you never know what kind of people you're going to meet, like, on your tour. Allow the Lord to surprise you, because he might have some big things for you when you go. And I would say, if the trip, if you don't have that moment where you're like, oh my gosh, I feel God the most right now, my life is forever changed, that's okay. Don't feel the pressure to have this instantaneous change of heart or revelation of direction he has for you. The Lord often works progressively and in small ways. So just allow yourself to have an open heart and mind towards what the Lord has for you, whether big or small. And I think taking that pressure off yourself will help you enjoy your experience in Israel a bit more. So that's all I have.
No, that's awesome. Thank you. That is great advice. I love it. A lot of people that I've talked to have always, when I ask them that question, they're always like, keep an open mind, you know, like go with questions, go with the word of God.
Yep.
It's just so good. Yep. It's so true. So if you know that all these people are saying it, you know, it's solid. So I love that. It's great. Well, Brittany, it has been a blast talking to you. I love your insights, and I really think that our listeners today have some really good, meaty insights to walk away with today. So thank you for sharing.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me, Jenny.
Of course. And listeners, be sure to tune in next time to the Charisma News Podcast.